Our Easter Sunday reading is from Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 to 10. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord had come down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." This is the word of the Lord.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this great day, this day when we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. And we ask, Lord, that you'll help us, each one of us, to take in that it really happened and what it means for us as we live today. In Jesus' name, amen. Going to start with a verse that isn't actually the one we've had read to us. And it's a verse right from the very end of Matthew's gospel. It's Matthew 28, verse 20. And it's where Jesus says, "I am with you always to the very end of the age. I am with you always to the very end of the age." That's what Jesus says. And so this morning we're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus, and it means so many things, doesn't it? It changes so many things. It changes everything, really. Life can't really ever be the same again in a world where Jesus overcame death. And this morning we've only got time to really think about this one aspect, this one part of what this means. And it's this verse, "Surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." And I think, in a way, this sentence sums up Easter. "I'm with you always to the very end of the age." From now on, Jesus is and always will be with us. It's a great statement, isn't it? But to take in what it really means, we need to rewind a little bit to Good Friday and realize what the disciples had experienced. They had been cut off from Jesus. The cross and the tomb and the stone look to have cut them off from Jesus forever. Just think about that, what that was like for them. Think of who Jesus was to them. Well, he had been a best friend to them, didn't he? He was amazing. Think of all the things that Jesus had done with his disciples and for them. He'd been an amazing teacher to them. He'd stood up for them when they were attacked by religious people. He protected them in dangerous situations, like when he was walking on the water. He'd shared special meals with them. He'd spent life with them, hadn't he? He'd shared great moments with them. You can see when he'd fed the 5,000 people just with five loaves and two fishes. He'd raised Lazarus from the dead, hadn't he? It was amazing. And then they lost him. They lost him. And now they felt they'd be without him. The greatest person they'd ever known. They felt, oh, that terrible, terrible, aching pain. It's really awful, isn't it, to be without someone, to be cut off from someone that you have loved and cared for. Perhaps we've experienced that. You may know the story of this man. He was the captain of Fiorentina Football Club until the beginning of last month, when he died suddenly in his sleep, aged 31. That's about the same age as Jesus was. Listen to the pain that caused to his football team, the rest of the team. This is what someone wrote a few days afterwards. "Oh, captain, my captain, why did you not come down to have breakfast with us all? Why did you not pick up your shoes from outside of Marco Sportiello's room and then drink your orange juice as usual? Now they will tell us that life goes on, that we must look forward and pick ourselves up. But what will your absence taste like? Who will arrive every morning in the cafeteria, warming up everyone with his smile? Who will ask us what we did the previous night? With whom will we debate about MasterChef?" What else was it? "Florence." I think we missed a bit there. "MasterChef, Florence, restaurants, TV stations or games played. Who will I lean on at lunch after a tiring training session? Come on, come back. You still need to finish watching La La Land to analyse like you did with all the new movies. Come back to Florence. They are waiting for you to renew your contract and acknowledge all the good and the positivity that you bring to us on a daily basis. Get out of that room. We will be waiting for you tomorrow at training. Oh, captain, my captain, forever my captain." It's tough, isn't it? We feel for those teammates who lost their captain. And that gives you some idea of how Jesus' followers felt on Good Friday and on Easter Saturday and in the morning on Easter Sunday. But it was much worse for them, because he wasn't just a great friend and a great leader like David Astori was. Jesus was like a God to them. He was God to them. And it was because he was God that he'd done all those incredible things for them. And now they were cut off from him. Such devastation and desolation they felt. The Bible tells us that if you're separated from Jesus, then you're without hope and without God in the world. They were without hope and without God in the world. They discovered Jesus was the essence of life. Following him had become the meaning of life. And then they were cut off from him. How could they contemplate this Christless existence without Jesus? But that's what they were experiencing. And that is why Easter Sunday transformed their world. And it can transform ours too. Jesus was alive and he was appearing. He was turning up on the road to the women. He was turning up on the road to Emmaus, speaking to people, eating with them, shaking hands with them, walking into their gatherings, saying comforting things to them, reassuring things. None more so than this. "Surely I am with you always to the end of the age." What does this mean? It means we'll never be apart. Jesus is saying, "You'll always have me. I will always be with you." His resurrection means he will always be with us. The man who is God will always be with us. Oh, sorry. And that's a statement of fact. It's not a promise for the future. It's a statement of fact for the present and for every single day that comes. In a changing and uncertain world, one thing is certain and never changes. Jesus will always be there for us, with us. He'll be doing all the things he used to do, teaching, protecting, standing up for, defending, hosting, being at our mealtimes, working great miracles. He'll always be there. He is with us always, which means we can't ever be cut off from him. Think of some of the ways we can be cut off from people. If you've ever been through an airport, you'll know that once you've gone through security, you can't go back to the bus driver, and he can't get to you, and the people who dropped you off, they can't get to you unless they got a ticket too. That's one way we can be cut off. Being put in prison, that's a pretty effective way of being cut off from those on the outside, isn't it? Death, that is the ultimate cutting off, separation. Jesus says, nothing can separate me from my people. I am always with you. I'm with you always. I can get to you wherever you are. I can get to you beyond airport security. I can be with you in prison. I can be with you in death. You'll always have me present with you. I'm present with you at Holy Trinity Church in Ipswich this morning, right now. And many of us here know it. We know he's with us. Hallelujah. But someone might say, I don't see him. I don't see him here today. He doesn't seem to be with us. But that would be to limit his presence to his physical presence. You know, he's with us always, no matter where he is. It's very significant when Jesus said that last phrase of Matthew's gospel. He said it just before he was going away. He's just about to ascend into heaven to be with his Father, to be removed from our sight for a time at least, until he comes again. And it would be a long time, wouldn't it? 2,000 years and counting. But the point Jesus was making, and the reason he said it right then, just before he was leaving, was to tell them he'd be with his church even when he's away. He'd be with them during this time of physical separation. That wouldn't stop him. He'll get to us even when he's not with us. He'll be with us even when he's not here. See, Jesus has a different relationship to time and space and location to the rest of us. We can only be in one place at any time. He can be in one place and also be available everywhere. The risen Jesus transcends all time and space. He fills the whole universe, every single corner. One gospel tells us in John that the women tried to hang on to him. Do you remember that? They tried to hold on to him when they saw him that first Easter day. And that's understandable. But Jesus said, don't hold on to me. He's telling them we don't have to hold on to him physically. He's able to get to us and be with us. That was something Thomas, do you remember Doubting Thomas? He had to learn that, Doubting Thomas. For Thomas, everything depended on Jesus being there in front of him before his very eyes. And he wouldn't believe if Jesus wasn't there in front of him before his very eyes. Well, Thomas saw Jesus. He turned up and showed Thomas his hands and his side. But Thomas never saw Jesus again after that. Certainly not after the ascension. But Thomas didn't go back to doubting or feeling very alone. From that day on, Thomas knew Jesus was alive and that Jesus was greater than his eyesight. Jesus was greater than Thomas's capacity to see. And Jesus could be with him even when he was out of sight. Just as he's with us this morning. But that doesn't just mean no matter where Jesus is. It also means no matter what we do. He's saying this to reassure us. We fear, I think, that he will leave us if we're not up to scratch. That he won't want us anymore when we really stuff up and let him down. Which we've all done, haven't we, many times. But he says, surely I am with you always, even when you fail me. He'll be there. And you can bet he'll be doing the very same things as before. Teaching us, standing up for us, protecting us, sharing special meals with us. Doing incredible things before our very eyes. I'm with you always to the very end of the age. We can't finish without looking at the effect these words had on those disciples. It makes a world of difference if we can take in these words. Think of those disciples on Good Friday, Easter Saturday, that Sunday morning. Jesus existed only as a memory, preserved somewhere in the vault of their minds. And it was a sad existence, wasn't it, for those who kept him there, huddled up together, very frightened, gloomy, defeated little band, so aware of other powers outside that could threaten them. But what we see after Easter Sunday and through the rest of the New Testament is men and women who experience a living Jesus A Jesus really, truly with them. He's alive, and so are they. They're not flat and melancholy in their discipleship. They're not like mourners attending a shrine. They're energized. They're galvanized. They're passionate. They're exuberant. They're determined. They're bold. They're courageous. They're adventurous. They're joyful. And he's the only power that they're constantly conscious of. See, it makes a world of difference. It makes a world of difference to know that he is with us always. So the question is, has it dawned on you this morning? Has it struck you that he is with us always, in every moment of every day, no matter where we are, or how good we are, or how bad we are? Or does he exist only as a memory in our minds, a faint memory of a man who may once have lived long ago, powerless to inform anything in our lives today? He's alive. He's with us always. And that's what I want to end on. What's your situation? What is your world? He's with you always, to the very end of the age. Maybe you're a busy person. You are rushed off your feet. He's with you always. The one who's handling the universe, he's managing the affairs of continents and cosmos, he's with you in your busy life. Or you're confused, you're not sure what to think about issues and events. He's with you always. The greatest teacher the world's ever known. He's with you, bringing his clarity. You're not sure what direction to take. He's with you always. The greatest leader in the world leads the way for you to follow. Maybe you're fearful for the future of the church. He's with his people always. You and me, the Lord of the church is with us. And it can't fail while he is with us. Maybe you're young. Maybe you've been filling in one of those sheets. Hope that's helped you follow along a little bit. Maybe you're young. He's with you always. And he'll help you as you grow up. He'll be with you as you grow up. Or you're old. He's with you always. And he'll renew you and refresh you and revive you. Maybe you're sick. You're sick of heart. You're sick of mind. You're sick of spirit or body. He is with you always. The healer is with you, who makes whole again. What if you are close to death? He is with you always. The one who passed through death is ready to guide you through where he has been. And he will be with you always. No matter who you are or where you are, Jesus is alive. And Jesus is with you always to the very end of the age. Let's just round off now with a prayer. And the prayer really is a promise that God has made. Hebrews 13, verse 5. God has said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." Heavenly Father, we thank you for this promise and that it is true, because Jesus lives today and he is with us always to the very end of the age. Help us take that in, that Jesus is always with us and is with us right now. Amen.